Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. I'm not Zoom video streaming live, and the reason is that I wanted to have some open calls. I've been able to take calls in about 10 days. We have such an intelligent and progressive audience who looks for solutions, reasons through issues, just doesn't react, that I want you to have a chance to give us your thoughts. Sure, call in at 888-874-4888. I'm going to ask you to call in on several issues, and we're going to take your calls throughout the program. For example, today, good news, at least from my perspective, that Mark Crispin Miller, one of the finest academics in America, tenure professor at New York University, and he talks about the controversies in, let's say, in censorship and in conspiracies. And it's a very popular class. But a couple of years ago, some students, part of the woke culture, didn't like what he was saying. It caused them anxiety. And as a result, they wanted him fired. And so other instructors joined them, and there was a whole movement to get him out. Well, that caused a Title IX, which is a full investigation. You're generally suspended with or without pay until the investigation is completed. Turns out that Jack Knott, dean of New York University's Steinhardt School, had the results in the spring. We're talking about 6 months, a half a year, and it only allowed him to know this today. So as of, or yesterday, excuse me, but as of now, I want to read you a note from Mark, who we've had on this program. And I've lectured with Mark at the 9/11. He is a scholar. He looks for the truth. That doesn't mean he's infallible. It just means that he's not afraid. Quote, on Wednesday afternoon, I was informed by Jack Knott, dean of New York University's Steinhardt School, that his office review of my conduct carried out at the insistence of my department colleagues last October finds that my teaching has not violated any of New York University's policies, and therefore that the university will take no further action on my case as if there was one. This is, of course, good news. So it may be churlish of me to observe that, since they came to that conclusion in the spring. They might have let me know before this week. In any case, this decision is a great relief for two reasons. First, I no longer have to worry that I might be harried any further by the university over this matter. And second, through this formal exculpation, New York University has tacitly disavowed my colleague's slanderous petition to the dean back in October of 2020, demanding that he order that review because they argued that, quote, my conduct in the classroom had violated NYU policy. In fact, it was so egregious, they claim, that I ought to be nullified of my academic freedom so that I might be duly punished, meaning fired, for what I had obviously not done. It is because of those wild lies and my colleagues' refusal to retract them or even to reply to me about them that I am suing them for libel. Good for you. While we await the judge to rule on their motion to dismiss filed back in February, I'm encouraged that the university appears not to support their drive against me, and I continue to look forward to my vindication as a victory for academic freedom and free speech. Why is this important? Not because of Mark Crispin Miller, this one individual, with hundreds of thousands of professors and more than that of non-tenured or adjunct faculty, but rather because all across the United States and Canada, professors of long duration are being fired or censored or condemned. And some are so terrified, as we heard in a recent broadcast about 3 or 4 weeks ago, from one very loved, and by the way, very liberal professor at New York University, that he chooses now not to invite any guest speakers. He chooses not to show any videos. He chooses not to use humor. He chooses not to go off the script. In other words, he's teaching directly from a book. In other words, if a student came in and read a manuscript or read the book, and he was there to answer any questions specific to that, he's fine with that. But he's terrified. And he said that. He was honest. He told the truth. But how many others of great importance for the development of a critical mind are no longer able to do so? That's how toxic the culture is, unfortunately. And yet they do not represent the majority of students nor faculty. But it shows you how a dysfunctional, pathologically dysfunctional, a minority can adversely affect a uncertain and conscious and awareness of their own strengths majority. So they've taken a beating. And I'll be writing a commentary I'll share with you on Monday on this to expand it further. In light of that, let me give you something to talk about. So think of the censorship all across America in the media, where people stop, self-censor, because they're afraid that someone's going to be offended. I'm going to share something. In fact, Jesse, let's get Richard Gale on. Because remember when the FDI said they wanted 55 years? Well, they just repetitioned to have 75 years. Listen to what I'm saying. That's longer than the Kennedy assassination files of the Warren Commission, or those that were kept secret, or other files that were kept secret. 75 years, most people in this audience are going to be dead. So you're going to bring something out after everyone's dead? We may not even have, because of environmental effects of global warming, we may not have a livable planet at that time. Why would they want to hide something? Don't we want the truth? Don't we want transparency? Evidently, most people don't. So, but today, someone got a hold of those documents. And BuzzFeed and Richard Gale has analyzed them. And he's going to tell us what was in those documents that we should be concerned about, that if we knew now or we knew then, we might have a second thought about doing the experimental vaccine. All right? So we're going to be the first to broadcast this for you today. But also, I'll save the rest. 888-874-4888. And for those who keep thinking, oh, we have Richard on the Gale, then we're going to hold off health. I'm going to get all of our health in. But this is important, because our government is working on the side of Big Pharma to cover up the truth. And it shows you what kind of fraudulent, totally corrupt organization it is. And if you doubt my specifics, read the article, the FDA, read the article on the CDC, read the article on the World Health Organization, read the article on Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and Merck. They're all up there on GaryNall.com under Special Investigative Reports, because those are all fully documented and vetted legally. So the truth is in those documents. So at least you should read those before you take a side, so at least you know what side you're taking. Richard Gale, nice to have you with us today. Richard, you got a copy this morning of the report that the FDA doesn't want the world public to see, or the scientific community to know about, or medical doctors to be aware of for 75 years. What does it say that should concern us? The forum is yours.
Well, first of all, I think there's the backstepping that originally took place back in January 2020, when Biden even had mentioned to the on television, national TV, made a statement that when he was asked if he would take the vaccine if it were to be made available tomorrow, and he said only if it was completely transparent and other experts in the country could look at it, only if we knew that all of what went into it. And then later he said he wanted total transparency, so scientists outside the government know exactly what is being approved. And also there's that to be certain, in January, that there could be a consensus that the vaccine was safe. So there's been, and this was also supported by the Democratic caucus as well at that time. And now they've backpedaled on this. This started when a group of scientists, a professor of medicine at University of California, David Geffen School of Medicine, Peter Doshi, who we've listeners have heard his name mentioned on the broadcast, and Dr. Harvey Risch, epidemiologist at Yale School of Public Health. They had put forward a Freedom of Information Act under the view to get to receive all the documentation about the Pfizer vaccine that the FDA had, under the main argument that it took the FDA only 108 days to review all the documentation and give emergency use authorization. So why shouldn't you be able to produce this documentation in a transparent manner to the public? And so this is now, because the FDA did not respect or honor the Freedom of Information Act request, that this law firm with Aaron Seary of the Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency have now filed a lawsuit against the FDA. There is approximately 451,000 pages of all the clinical trial data for the vaccine millions of Americans are now being mandated to take. And this is just like floating in legal limbo for the next 75 years. They're making the argument that they can only provide 500 pages per month, which would take 75 years for this, for all this information to come forward. So this is, clearly there's a kind of a cover-up. And it was just because it was 55 years, and then it was extended to 75 years, at which time everybody mentioned in this documentation would be dead by then. So wonder about that. But the other thing is also just to think about how much taxpayer money we've given to Pfizer. You know, the executive branch gave Pfizer $1.9, almost $2 billion to promote the development of vaccine. And then again, they paid Pfizer $15 billion for purchasing a product, and then another $18 billion of taxpayer money to promote the product. So that was $36 billion of public monies that have been given to Pfizer for this. So, it's already, they did provide 91 pages only of the 451,000.
Richard, just go directly. Richard, hold on a second. We don't have time. Please just tell us the most important points. Go, what does it say that we should be concerned about? Just stick with that.
Well, I think the most important thing is just that during that 2.5 month period following the emergency use authorization, that the Pfizer had received 42,000 reports, each that had contained reports that all total contained almost 159,000 adverse effects. And most of these reports were primarily from women in the 31 to 50 year old age group. So this is the age group that's been least affected by the wild SARS-2 virus. So that was in the first release of papers, and also there were we're only looking at a 2.5 month period, but there were also 26,000 events among women of nervous system disorders, again in the age group of 30 to 51. So that was the only information that really came out of that first dump, but of course everybody wants the 451,000 pages that the FDA had used in that 108 days to be able to authorize the emergency use of the vaccine. So the most important thing to realize is that here we're now wanting to mandate this vaccine for everybody to be taking, and yet there's been no transparency, and there's been walking back on all the claims by the Biden administration and Democratic caucus to make this transparent and public to independent researchers.
Okay. Thank you very much, Richard. Okay. Let's add on something else to that. Julian Assange has now been ordered by the British High Court, and it's just as culpable of conflicts of interest historically, to come to the United States to be held here. Where are the articles challenging that from the mainstream media? The very papers, the Washington Post, the New York Times, etc., all these publications over the years used Julian Assange's material. Not a word in his support now. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Not one of the 10 million documents that he released was shown to be inaccurate. But he downloaded Hillary Clinton's emails, including her conversations with the head of her campaign manager, Podesta, Leon Podesta. And what did those say? And what about her special off-the-camera private consultant? Well, we played all those. We showed you those documents. It shows that the DNC was corporatized, supporting the neoliberal agenda, hegemonic practice around the world, invasion, regime change, supporting the military-industrial complex, supporting Big Pharma, supporting the security state. And that doesn't make a person look good. It doesn't make them look good for the populist. But she was sure good for all the people making money. And they have lavished her and her husband very well, as has those same organizations, the same people, the Obamas. So, what about that? What are your feelings about Julian Assange now coming here? And he'll either be assassinated or he'll die. And the media and the world won't say anything. Thank goodness we have some very strong minds out there. John Pilger in England and also Australia is supporting everything they can do for him. Randy Credico on his radio program. But where are the millions of people who now are better educated about what goes on because of him? And why didn't any president, including the liberal presidents, give him, Snowden, Chelsea Manning, and all the other whistleblowers, why didn't they give him pardons? They haven't given any of them pardons. What does that tell you? I mean, what do you have to see in order to understand what's going on? Just want you to think about that. All right? 888-874-4888 is our number. We're going to go to health now, and then I'm going to come back and start taking some calls. We always start with the latest on health and healing. This is from Kashan University of Medical Sciences. It says coenzyme Q10 may help blood sugar management in people with METs. Daily supplementation of coenzyme Q10 can produce beneficial effects on insulin and blood sugar management in people with metabolic syndrome. That means, and this was published in the European Journal of Nutrition, that means if you have high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, it will help you. One more reason to take it. Eucalyptus compound effective at treating lung damage. University of Melbourne and Monash University in Australia. The two universities have shown that the flavonoid, what is called pino, P-I-N-O, serinin, C-E-R-N-B-R-I-N, derived from the Australian eucalyptus tree, has strong anti-inflammatory properties and can be safe and effective at treating lung fibrosis. And they believe it would be a good model for human lung disease. And by the way, this flavonoid, found in several different types of trees, including pine trees and eucalyptus, has been reported to have antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and antimicrobial anti-cancer properties. That's good. From the University of California at Riverside, a study links high cholesterol cardiovascular disease to plastics. I've talked a lot about plastics, especially the microcrystallized plastics. They're part of modern life. Plastic has been useful. There's no question about that. But they also pose a significant challenge to the environment, may also constitute a health concern. Indeed, exposure to plastic-associated chemicals, such as base chemical biphosphate A, and the phthalates, plasticizers, can increase the risk of human cardiovascular disease. And the underlying mechanism they're now looking for still remains elusive. But that's why I'm suggesting don't put anything hot into plastic. Right? Don't put plastic into a microwave if you should be using a microwave, which I don't recommend. And now the convenience is that everything's coming in little bags. And these are plastic bags. And you just put them in the water and boil them for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, and suddenly you pour them out and you got your meal. Very convenient and innovative. But think of all the plastic, the microcrystallized plastic you're consuming into your body, and that stuff is not taken out of the body easily. It can lodge in your fat tissue and be very disruptive to the hormones in the body. Just saying. Try not to use it and minimize it wherever you have to. Also, an environmentally sustainable diet, that's your plant-based diet, is linked to health benefits. Lund University, which is in Sweden. So a large population study from Lund University in Sweden has shown that more sustainable dietary habits are linked to health benefits, such as a reduced risk of premature death from cardiovascular disease and cancer. It was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. So what they're saying is, go towards a healthy plant-based diet. I would suggest also one that is locally grown, so you reduce it even more. Also from Chalmers University in Sweden comes a study that looked at the difference between rye bread and whole wheat bread. And it found that the rye was healthier and better for losing weight. Okay. That's good. Not eating bread is the best, but at least you know not to eat the wheat bread, but to eat the rye, if you're going to eat it. And finally, from the Avaaz University of Medical Sciences, vitamin C and vitamin E is associated with a decreased inflammation in diabetics. I counseled someone yesterday with diabetic neuropathy, and they're at risk now of having their legs amputated. So I gave him a protocol and made some suggestions and sent it over. I always try to work with their existing physician to see if anything I might suggest may be counterindicated because they're on multiple medications. And the person never realized that they should be taking vitamins. They're taking no vitamins. No vitamins. And yet they've been under medical care for over 15 years. What doctor in America today would not at least look on PubMed and ask which vitamins help reduce inflammation in diabetics? But evidently not. This was published in a journal of phytomedicine. So that's important. So we have a lot of problems. And by the way, I just want to quote Robert Reich. He's a very nice gentleman. He was in one of my documentaries, Poverty Inc. He just came out with an article in The Guardian yesterday. And in the article, he talked about why he doesn't like reading the mainstream media in the United States. Instead, he reads The Guardian, which at one time was a very liberal publication, but it has a political agenda also. But in any case, his main theme, what he's trying to share, I think is very valid. He says that he's grown wary. Quote, I've grown wary of the mainstream media, not because it peddles fake news, but because of three more subtle biases. First, it often favors the status quo, mainstream journalists wanting to appear serious about public policy rip into progressives for the cost of their proposals, but never ask self-styled moderates how they plan to cope with the cost of doing nothing or doing too little about the same problems. Let me just stop for a moment and tell you why I think that's important. First, I would challenge him, politely so, that the mainstream media is the primary provocateurs for fake news. Give you an example. Look out for yourself. Do your homework. I wrote the article, fully documented, fully footnoted. Go to GaryNaldo.com. The New York Times is one of the primary sponsors and promoters of 5G technology. Nowhere in the articles that the 5G, let's say supporters like the New York Times have written, and nowhere in their ads does it show you the downside, the consequences of being exposed to a smart meter or your cell phone or Wi-Fi. And I'll give you just one example. There is a very famous program and a very good program in Great Britain that does documentaries, mini documentaries. And the one that they did, and I believe it was on Channel 4, it was about a school. And what they did, they took this meter that reads electromagnetic pulses that you can't see, you can't necessarily feel, into a school. And the school had all computers on desks. So they put the device right where the child sat. So you saw the distance, maybe 24 inches, somewhere in that vicinity. And suddenly the meters went off completely, couldn't go any higher. That meant the students sitting there, which meant that students are at different desks throughout the day. That means that during an entire 8 days, let's say six hours, the students in front of those computers, they're getting pulsed. Their brain, the central nervous system, their DNA is getting pulsed with electromagnetic waves. These are extremely dangerous. So then they wanted to see how far does the student have to go before they're no longer in that wave. They had to go clear out of the school, clear across the lawn to near a field before the meter was reading low enough that a person would not be adversely affected. Now, mind you, all the media promotes the vaccines and boosters and then attacks ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. That's fake news, meaning they're everything they're saying is fake. Because we've responded with multiple articles. Read the articles about ivermectin, the real science of ivermectin, the real science of hydroxychloroquine, the real science of monoclonal antibodies and zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, quercetin in fighting COVID. So there, Robert Reich and I would have a difference of opinion. Then he says about, quote, a Green New Deal might be expensive, but doing nothing about the climate crisis will almost certainly cost far more. Medicare for all will cost a lot, but the price of doing nothing about America's cruel and dysfunctional healthcare system will soon be in the stratosphere. He is correct. Fully support that. That is an accurate statement. However, read the article on how we could do universal health care that I've supported for decades. Read it. It's up online. And I show how not only will it not be expensive, we'll save nearly $2 trillion a year. That's how much we'll save. Therefore, it will be self-paying and all the savings. I'm just taking all the excess profits and all the administrative fees and all the defensive medicine costs. I'm taking all the repetitive tests that are not needed, but are taken because a doctor might get sued, so they'll overtest you. I'm taking all that out. And I'm also adding in an alternative, the peer-reviewed literature, what is taught in medical schools, of the alternative science that works, and then a whole lot of information in every community in America that we'd be dispensed on preventing disease. Doesn't make sense to prevent something. We're not good at preventing anything. So this way it would prevent those diseases. And on the environment, you're going to help the environment when you stop eating meat, when you stop buying clothes and other products you don't need. When you stop before you travel and ask yourself, do you really need that travel? When the rich and powerful stop building their mega mansions, their mega yachts, and their private jets, because they're, as the smallest group, we only have 550 American billionaires. That's a lot. They control $2.3 trillion. That's a lot of money for a small handful of people, and they are omnipotent. They feel that they're impervious. They see themselves in a different altered state. Now, I know some of these people, not as friends, but as people who come to me for counseling. Yeah, some of the wealthiest people in the world. And I see their vulnerabilities. I see their insecurities. If you saw what I saw, you'd say, wow, how in the world did you get so powerful, because you don't have an answer for anything? And they don't. They're as clueless as you can get on almost all things. Just something to think about. So the mainstream media does get it wrong, and yet the average person will go to the mainstream media. What does that tell you? I'm going to share two little clips, short clips. But these are normal people, not celebrities, not famous, not doctors. One is a funeral home director, and so he sees the coroner's report, and he's scared because what he's seeing after everyone's getting the vaccines and then the boosters. We're going to go to that clip right now because no one in the media will have him on to tell his story of what he has seen firsthand from the beginning of this event. Let's go now to the funeral director.
Hi, guys. So just a quick update from me. For those of you who don't know me, my name's John. I'm a funeral director based in Milton Keynes. I run a funeral home called Milton Keynes Family Funeral Services. And a quick search online for that will find me and verify who I am. So many of you will know me, so I'll just give you an update as to where we are at this time, and it is the 6th of December 2021. So what we're seeing is a large number, an unnaturally large number of deaths due to heart attack, stroke, aneurysm, and these are all as a direct result of thrombosis, embolisms, in the lungs, the legs, various places that's causing these deaths. And these are well documented by the local coroners. These are well documented, across the country. Nobody seems to be concerned by the alarming rise in them, I used to see a blood clot very, very rarely. And now I see more this year than I have in the previous 14, to give you an idea. I've written to the Chief Coroner of England. He isn't concerned. I've had no response for weeks and weeks, and then I had an email from his secretary saying he's not interested. There you go. This is the guy who's supposed to be protecting us from harm. So we're seeing those deaths. The other type of death that I'm seeing, which is more distressing for me personally, is people who are getting sick now as their immune systems finally give up. So they've had the jabs maybe 6-8 months ago, and it's been eating away at their immune system, and now they're struggling to fight off things like the common cold. So we're in winter, and as you'll be aware, there are colds and flus about in this time of the year. These people can't fight it off, and the government were very quick to label it Omicron, a new variant, and they are sick, but they're sick with basic thing like the common cold. Their immune systems are decimated, and if you think about it logically, much like, for example, a cancer patient. So when you get a cancer patient and they're on chemotherapy, it decimates their immune system. And one of the things that they have to be extremely careful of is, because they've got no immune system, a basic cold, common cold or a flu can kill them. And this is what we're seeing now in these jab recipients across up and down the country. They're becoming extremely ill, really, really ill. And the saddest thing is they're actually convinced that if they'd have had the jab, it would have, lessened that illness. So, for example, I've got a couple of friends. I've known them for a long time. Very intelligent guy, logical thinker. Him and his wife have both been jabbed. She's had one. He's had both. He's bitterly desperate now. He's desperate to get the booster because he feels so terribly ill. He thinks that will make him feel better. What do you say to these people? Because they just won't believe it. They feel terribly ill. His wife is saying how she's desperate now. She's had one jab, wishes she'd had the second. She's desperate to get the second, can't get booked up quick enough. I tried to explain, this is what is killing you. This is killing you. It's damaging your immune system. All you've got is a common cold. And I said to him, look, I will come over, I'll bring you whatever you need. I will kiss you on the lips because I'm in no danger of falling sick because I have an immune system that's protecting me as a guy who hasn't been jabbed. These people, it was well documented on the Georgia Guidestones and other places what would happen. These people are going to willingly walk over the cliff begging for more. I really don't know what else I can say. So that's, we're nearly 12 months in now from when the first jabs went into people, so their immune systems will be falling apart now. That's the reality, and that's what I'm seeing. Neighbours getting sick and ill and having Amazon deliveries because they have to isolate, they can't get out, because their immune systems are falling over, and it's winter, and it's cold season, and they can't cope with the cold anymore in the same way A cancer patient with a decimated immune system can't. I wish I knew the answer. You know, what can I do? What can I do to convince people what is actually happening to them? You know, I really don't know, but I'm seeing it. I know it's happening. This is when I went for the meeting in September to Westminster. The scientists there said exactly what would happen. And lo and behold, this is what's happening. You know, these people are getting sick and dying, as I said all along, you know. Now is the time I'm starting to wait for the phone calls to come in from family and friends. And it's frightening, isn't it? You know, and I do wonder if these people will fall over and die still thinking it's convinced it's COVID, you know, and blaming anti-vaxxers, you know. You're a terrible danger if it wasn't for you, you know. You know, what can you say? What can you say? All I can do, you know, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make it drink. And I've told these people what would happen to them if they took these jabs, and they haven't listened. Many have. And I just want to say a big thank you to the thousands and thousands of people who have been in touch by email, phone calls, that have visited me with so much love and support. You know, it's a wonderful, humbling experience. What, you know, telling me how brave I am. I don't feel brave. All I've done is care. I've just cared. And I still care, and I can't turn that care off. So for anyone that's watching, you know, if you've had your jabs and you've been protected, but you're still really, really ill and you've got COVID and you're having to isolate, this is why. It's because these jabs are decimating your immune system. The other type are the blood clots. They're the quick killers. And we've seen plenty of those as well. So please, please, please don't take any more of these jabs. It's killing you. It's killing you. And lining up for more jabs when you're desperately ill already isn't the answer. It really isn't the answer. Take a step back. Just look a little bit deeper than the BBC and Google are telling you. The jabs are what are making you ill. The Omicron is vaccine injury. They're nothing more than that. Will you believe it? I really don't know. Time will tell, I guess. Time will tell. But that's where we are in December of 2021. We're exactly where the scientists told me we would be, sadly. I just hope that people listen. I hope that people listen, because if they don't, they're going to get sick and they're going to die. That's the reality. You will die if you keep taking these jabs. And, you know, bless you. Bless you. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Never a truer word spoken.
Okay. An honest person in the front lines, he's the one who has to prepare them, embalm them, and bury them. And he's saying that the people he's seeing have been vaccinated. And then what did the FDA say? Of the people who actually died of COVID by itself, 6%. 6%? Yeah, 6%. Otherwise, people had comorbidities. How many children have died? Well, you're talking about tens of millions of children, and there was a total of 495. But then Dr. Reich and other scientists found that half of those had other causes of death. Okay, they had leukemia, etc. So then how many are left? Well, just divide that in half, about 248, more or less. And then how many of those were obese? How many of those had heart disease? And then you have none. One study from a professor at Johns Hopkins University found that out of 30,000 children who have died from causes, zero, not even one, died from COVID. Not one. So why again? Please explain it to me. Slowly, so I can understand your science. If we have zero chance of a young child and a teenager dying of COVID, why would we give them a vaccine that is known to shed, is known to go from the deltoid muscle into the entire circulation, including passing the blood-brain barrier, and then causing micro strokes and then micro blood clotting, embolisms, heart attacks? We've never seen at this level. And you heard what he says. He's seeing heart attacks and strokes and embolisms that he's never seen in his entire career. all because of this. And the science is there now to show that that is correct. And who are the major spreaders? The vaccinated. Yeah. And they lied. They set up a whole story, a false narrative about who was filling up hospital rooms. It was not the unvaccinated. It's the vaccinated. In Israel, it's 95% of the people in their hospitals were fully vaccinated, some with 3 and now going to 4. Now, understand something. Here's part of the issue. They say, well, protect the senior citizens, those over 70 with multiple comorbidities. I agree. They should be protected. However, look at the actual science. I have a different way of saying that they were protected. They're giving the vaccines, and people had, in nursing homes in particular, who had no COVID in the nursing home, right after the, within days, they had COVID, and then they died in large numbers. In one case, over 35% of the people in a nursing home who had no COVID in the nursing home all got vaccinated, and 35 died within a week. So that means that the most vulnerable, whose immune system was most susceptible to overstimulation and collapse, are the oldest. So now think of it. This is an area they have no expertise. They don't know diddly squat about immunity. Those of us in the field who do, we've seen tens of thousands of individuals individually who build up their immune system, and they're far more tolerant when any kind of microorganism or antigen hits their system. So shouldn't we be using a different approach to help the seniors and those with comorbidities? Of course we should. So the very thing that we're saying, get it into the seniors, could be the very thing is killing them. And yet they will not stop for a second because there's just too much profit to be made and too many reputations to be lost. By the way, I want to thank Gregory Doctor for sending this over. Quote, very great movie with Michael Keaton, who plays a small-town Virginia doctor caught up in the OxyContin scandal beginning in 1986. It's really a must-see in understanding the corruption and inner workings of Big Pharma, the FDA, and the total degradation, etc. I agree. It's on Hulu. Thank you, Michael, for sending that over, or Gregory. Now, we're going to hear one last clip right now. It's a short clip. It's only 2 minutes. This is from just a cowboy, right? There's lots of cowboys throughout America. There's a lot of people who support the cowboy mindset, the importance of family, the importance of trying to live in balance within your means, within a society. And he has some thoughts that you will not hear anywhere in the media. I can promise you no one's going to fight him on. Let's hear what he has to say.
I was working with these two fellows in a room for 9 hours a day. They got sick. They tested positive for the coronavirus. And I got sick. At one point, my oxygen levels were so low, there were some people that wanted to put me in a hospital and put me on a ventilator. And I probably would have died. But luckily for me and my family, we follow science. And we're very familiar with America's frontline doctors and their protocols. So I got me on HCQ, Z-Pak, zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, budesonide, ivermectin, and monoclonal antibody therapies. It wasn't a fun couple of weeks, but I was sick and I got better. But Dr. Fauci, you and me need to have a little come to Jesus meeting. Because of you, you told America that HCQ and ivermectin doesn't work. Because of your propaganda, I had to buy my ivermectin at the feed store. You see, those two fellas that got me sick, they were both vaccinated. For the last year and a half, I've been working all over this country. Texas, New Mexico, Florida, Wisconsin, D.C., up and down California, all around healthy people without masks. I never got sick. But you put me in a room with two vaccinated people and bingo, I get COVID? Your vaccines are crap. How many Americans believed you when you said that if you take this vaccine, you'll be safe? If you take this vaccine, you won't get sick? How many Americans like me, how many more are getting sick from being around vaccinated people? How many Americans are going to be killed from spike protein shedding from your vaccines? And I'll tell you something else, Dr. Fauci. My next birthday, I'm going to be 60 years old. A year ago, I was diagnosed with leukemia. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I think that as far as comorbidities go, cancer's one heck of a pre-existing condition. You already knew that because you're a doctor.
Okay. Just a normal guy. A normal guy who's around vaccinated people, gets sick, goes into the hospital. His oxygen level was down to 81. They wanted to put him on a respirator. And he had people who knew about frontline doctors. He looked at their protocol. He communicated with them. They put him on hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, monoclonal antibodies, vitamin C, zinc, and quercetin, and vitamin D3. He recovered. Now he has natural immunity, and he's alive. Why don't you take a look at how many of the people were told, don't do a single thing. Remember, this is what Fauci said, don't do anything. No medications, nothing. No prevention at all. Just go to your home and stay isolated till you have to go to a hospital because you're so sick. And then they got on ventilators for his remdesivir, which is a killer. So why isn't the media all over this? Why aren't they talking about this? They should. We're going to go to your calls now. Let's say hello to Rob from New York City. Hi, Rob. Your turn.
You know, it's outrageous what's going on in the world. I'd like to make a suggestion as to how I think we can go a long way to turning around all of this COVID misinformation. And then I have an important question to ask you. But first, Robert F. Kennedy's new book, The Real Anthony Fauci, it's already number 5 on the New York bestseller list. And by the way, this book has 2,194 footnotes. 2,194. I tabulated them. So if we can get this book to number 1, I think it'll go a long way towards changing the worldwide perception of this so-called pandemic.
Oh, I agree. Now, what is your question? Because we have a lot of people want to get on.
Okay, my question is, you speak often about the immune system, about COVID, but for those of us who live in the country, I think the real pandemic is Lyme disease. So what would you suggest? What is the best treatment for healthy people who discover that they have Lyme disease and have had it for 4 months or 5 months? Because my doctors want me to go on 4 months of doxycycline, which I think would do more harm than good.
Okay.
And even
okay, you've asked your question, and I appreciate it. Next week, I'm going to do a whole classroom on the air on your immune system. I will include dealing with Lyme's disease because I deal with that all the time and help reverse it. I'll give you the protocols next week. As to Robert F. Kennedy's book, I sat down with Robert and we did a whole hour discussion. Why don't you go up and watch it and get people to download it? Go to GaryNall.com or PRN.fm. and download the Zoom meeting of he and I for an hour. I also had a conversation with people in Bobby's office yesterday and suggested that he take his book, and which is packed full of new information no one's had, showing Fauci is really so bad, and make them small little articles or for Bobby or someone else to then broadcast little mini indictments, maybe 5 to 7 minutes long. There could be 100 or 200 of those that could be put up on the internet. My hope is they'll do that. So we're going to do all we can to help make that book number 1 as well. Appreciate your call. And we have time for one more. By the way, the webinar I did, over 4-hour webinar on how to overcome loneliness, depression, anxiety, insecurity, and uncertainty, and we had a really good testimonial. I'm going to ask Jesse, we're going to have to say our goodbye, our WBA audience, but Jesse, do you have that when we ask at the very end, and we only had like 1 minute, can someone who would like to give us a testimonial call in? Tell us what you thought of the day. Can you put that up so we can play that? I'd like for people to hear it. We're going to go up to the end of the hour. I'm going to take some more calls here. But now that whole webinar is up on GaryNall.com for you to download. All right? Okay, now who do we have on next? We had someone else here, Ronald. Okay, here's the testimonial, someone who was there for the whole afternoon learning how to deal with depression, loneliness, anxiety, insecurity, and uncertainty and fear.
Gary, thank you so much for today. The presentation, yours, and the film were amazing, astounding. What was explained about terror and the straitjacket There's so much gold in this whole afternoon. I'm thrilled. It was a joyful afternoon to see what can be done. Also, it has me have more respect for psychiatry. I just saw very positive things being said here. But this is really a gift you've given us and everyone else is going to hear about it. So thank you again very much.
Okay, that was just one person because we were out of time. And we had hundreds of other people wanting to make statements. We didn't have any time left. So go to GaryNoll.com and PRN.FM. And where else, Jesse, is that film, Vimeo, Rebel? Where else do we have it for people to download and watch? BitChute, Odyssey, Rumble, and it's Brighton. Is it also over on GaryNoll.com? Or PRN? Yes, it's on those as well. Let's say hello to Ronald. ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. Ronald from Long Island. Hi, Ronald. Your turn.
This is a follow-up. I spoke with you a couple of months ago, and I mentioned regarding the people that have died from the vaccine, and you said even if it went up to a million, they wouldn't admit wrongdoing. Now, hypothetically speaking, what happens with long-term side effects if it went up to 10 million people in the United States died? What if 100 million people wound up dying? Wouldn't there be a point where it would be too big to cover up?
Yes and no. Yes, they can continue to cover up because they control all of the resources that the average person trusts and relies upon. They control the radio networks, they control the print media, they control all the major cable systems, even much of Fox. Just look at how much Sean Hannity promotes war and, you know, going in there and protecting, you know, the Ukrainians and fight the Russians. My God, Gloria Nuland and Hillary Clinton's right hand and her, they are warmongers and they control Washington. I mean, I did a broadcast every day for 36 years on our sister station, WPFW, down Washington. And it's a city that is controlled by those who have political connections to influence legislators, all the major industries. And you've got thousands upon thousands of different people who want something out of the legislation, and they pay for it, and they get it. So we're not going to see the right moves by any of these people. And so don't think that because the truth is there that anyone's going to pay attention to it outside of a small group, the independents and some of the individual platforms that still respect freedom of speech and honor good journalism. Outside of that, that's not enough. No, you have to have something that's so egregious happen that they have to pay attention. And only when Fauci is finally shown to be lying about Wuhan, and where we're shown that the Chinese knew that months in advance that the virus was out, and the people covered it up and chose not to deal with it. Only when that happens, but for that to happen, you're going to have a whistleblower submit documents, just like Julian Assange, that shows they've covered it up. Then they'll throw a couple of these people, they'll sacrifice a couple of people. There'll be no major corporations. There'll be no pharmaceutical companies. There'll be no National Institutes of Health, National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease people indicted. They will selectively and surgically cut out a couple of people, show these are the people behind it, they were guilty, and excommunicate them from the church of the modern-day scientism. All right? Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Look how long it took for people to acknowledge weapons of mass destruction was wrong and deadly, and more than a million people died because of that in the Middle East. All right? Sorry that doesn't sound like good news, but it's the only news we can trust at this moment. We're out of time, everyone. I'm sorry for the other people who couldn't get on, but we will get you on another program. Have a nice day.